Good morning, church. Welcome on this beautiful Sunday as we praise God's name. We celebrate not only the martyrdom of John Huss, but also we celebrate a Youth Sunday today with our kids. We'll be invited for snacks after worship, and then we'll play a wiffle ball game in the backyard at the parsonage. A few announcements before we get started. Please don't forget, next Sunday, immediately following worship, we will have a special church council to discuss financing the roof at the parsonage. So that will be immediately after worship. That will be the only thing on church council's agenda, so it shouldn't take too long to go through. So those of you that can stay with us after worship, that would greatly be appreciated. Brown Bag and Big Ideas continues this Monday at noon at Tuscora Park. It's probably going to rain because the 1 week we were off, it was a beautiful and sunny day. So plan for rain. Monday night, don't forget, we have our card party here from 6 to 9. Thanks to all of you who have donated stuff. If you still need to get stuff in, you got time. And any of you who volunteer, the more people we have to take down tables and chairs, the faster it goes. So Monday night from 6 to 9. And then CEC and VBS planning will take place on Tuesday with the VBS planning beginning at 6. VBS is right around the corner. It's starting Tuesday, July 16th. Registration will be at 5:30 that day, but Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday will all be 6 to 7:30. We're looking forward to our programming. You can already see we have the Recycle, Reduce, Reuse, Rejoice theme. Dover came up with this, and we've been so happy that we could share this together. One of the great ways to show our county continually working together. Food on the Fly, also don't forget about that. That is Wednesday from 4:30 to 6. We're trying to go up from 80 to 100 meals this week. So if you can support that, either by showing up or donating some food, that is appreciated. And trustees will follow at 6:30. Does anybody else have any other announcements? All right, the only other announcement I would share with you is just keep reminding your kids to get their forms in for camp. That is right around the corner. Tar Hollow is a couple weeks away. Bethany is about a month away. So we're excited. Hopefully we can keep sending more kids to camp each year. A great opportunity for our kids to get engaged and learn more about their relationship with Jesus Christ. At this time, I invite you to stand as we shake hands and worship. Please remain standing as we join together for the watchword of the week. Our watchword this week comes from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. So let us not grow weary in what is doing right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. You may be seated.
please stand for a call to worship? Let the Lord be glorified.
Let his name be praised.
Let us listen to the words of the Lord.
May we sing of your everlasting joy.
Please remain standing for our hymn for all the saints found on page 390.
Be seated. As we turn our time to our tithes, offerings, and gifts, let us remember that it is what we give to God, as we remember especially the martyr John Huss, who reminded us to live the truth and defend the truth and to give wholeheartedly to God. And when we give everything we are capable of giving to God, beautiful things can happen, hidden seeds can be grown. Let us now give of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Please rise. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we pray for the strength to witness to your grace in good times and in bad. May our discipleship not be dependent on praise or accomplishment, but on your unconditional love. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn our time and our hearts to our prayer concerns and lift these prayers up to God. First of all, let us give thanks for a wonderful celebration of Independence Day on Thursday, as we all celebrate the freedom to praise God in this wonderful country. I give special thanks to the end of fireworks season, as somebody who has a very anxious animal at home who thinks the second coming is every time a fireworks happen. So I'm happy about that. That's a prayer joy for us. We also celebrate this week the martyrdom of John Huss. 1415, July 6th, John Huss spoke. My famous quote from John Huss to share with you is to speak the truth, defend the truth, and live the truth. And little did John Huss know that on July 6th, 1415, he would lay down his life for the gospel of Christ. But through those flames, the inspiration for the Moravian Church would be born. And 600 some years later, his inspiration continues to inspire many, many people. We give thanks for Wynn Knowles, who had a successful tonsillectomy on Tuesday. She is recovering well, and I've heard from Grandma and Grandpa she's enjoying quite a bit of ice cream. So that's good for Wynn. Willie Gardner, continue to keep him in prayer. Linda Karcher's father, he continues to struggle with some health concerns, and just pray for his guidance and discernment along the way. We celebrate this Sunday as well 2 years of ministry together. You guys haven't kicked me out yet, so we're grateful for that. And also, give thanks and prayers that Rhianne Ryan is finally off event at Akron Children's Hospital, and she may be able to come home soon. Many of you know that we've been praying for Rhianne. She's a middle schooler, and she's been in the hospital for about 6 months. So for her to get the opportunity to come home, this is a wonderful blessing. And we have another wonderful joy to share with you now that it's Facebook official. Erica Hansen Stafford got engaged to Charles Ward Dalton, and they will celebrate their wedding here on New Year's Eve of this year. So we rejoice with them, and let's see if we can make Erica rest. No, just we're very happy for you, and we're excited about all the future that lies ahead for you and Charles. Let's take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you today, and we are so grateful for the sunshine that we feel today. But we know that your love is always reaching out to us like a ray of light, reminding us that you are imprinted on our hearts, our minds, and our soul. Right now we pray for those who are going through difficult time, those who are sick, those who are hungry, those who are struggling to find faith, those who are feeling utterly alone. Help them to know that they are surrounded by a loving God and a loving world. And if we have the opportunity to serve anybody who is hurting or struggling, please give us the opportunity to do so. But we know that you call us to be your hands and feet. And today, as we celebrate Holy Communion, we remember John Huss, such a great martyr in our denomination, somebody who pointed us to Christ. The Christ who lived for us, the Christ who died for us. May we as Moravians carry that legacy. that when people ask us what we believe, we can point directly to you, O Savior. And gracious God, we are grateful for a day off for 4th of July. We pray for those who had to work that day, but just continue to renew and strengthen our spirits. For we know that every day we can dedicate and serve you, and we are so grateful for that. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson today is Psalm 66, found on page 410 of your pew Bible. Shout with the joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations, not let the rebellious line up against him. Praise our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me.
Thank you, Rick. Our gospel today comes from Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 11, and then 16 to 20, Jesus sends out the 72. After the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go, he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promises peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you. For the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town, you are welcome. Eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe off your feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite the children forward for the children's chat, and they're welcome to bring their toys with them as well. Come on up. Oh, boy. Well, thank you. Boy, we came ready today. Oh, my goodness gracious. So good morning, everybody. How are you doing? Let me hear. How are you doing today?
Good.
Who's ready to play some wiffle ball today? Me? I'm very excited. So we're going to talk about the story of John Huss today. So, Rylan, can I see Superman?
Yes,
so this is John Huss for all of you today. He is Superman. Not quite as many muscles. John Huss might be a little skinnier, and his superpower was speaking up for people, telling them to read the Bible and do wonderful things like that. So what you need to know is that when John Huss lived in 1400s, there were some people who struggled to get his message, because he believed in things like telling the truth, reading the Bible in your own language. It sounds crazy, but people actually in that day heard scripture in Latin or a different language. And then he also believed in something called not selling indulgences. So that's a big word, indulgence. But basically what an indulgence is saying that you can pay your way out of having your sins forgiven. So let's say if Nick was really mad at his sister Charlotte. Just never happens, right, Nick? Right, Charlotte? Never would happen in a million years. Okay. And let's just say Nick decided, you know, I am so upset, I want to be able to slap my sister. So, I mean, he's really upset. Now, that's not something Nick should do, but according to the rules of indulgences, he could go to his mother, Carolyn, you know, if I did this mistake, I would have to pay usually 2 weeks. I would be grounded, right? So how about instead of me being grounded for 2 weeks, I give you $5 and I'm able to slap my sister. And then so I give Carolyn the $5 and then I'd be able to slap my sister and I could go on with my life. Does that seem fair? No, does it seem fair? No, it doesn't. So John Huss decided that he was going to go on a mission, and he was going to save the people of Prague in the Czech Republic where he lived. So we're going to start our journey over in this corner. And so now why we have Mr. Stinky over here is because in Prague, after they decided that John Huss was standing up for his people and he was preaching and he was saying, tell the truth, don't do indulgences, read the scripture, the Catholic Church did something really mean to him. They did something called an interdict, and they put that on the entire city of Prague. And what that means is nobody can come in and out. You can't bury your dead. So guess what happens? You weren't getting the services that were required. Guess what happens to your town? What happens to the smell of your town? It stinks. And you know what happens when it stinks? It's a good place for pigs to live and take care of things. So the pig goes from there. So now let's take home plate. So home plate, this is from the New Philly Youth Baseball Champions, by the way. Home plate from them, Mr. Nick Menapace. And this is going to be our road to Constance. So we're going to go from Prague and Bohemia all the way to Constance. And on this road, John Huss was told, now he had to go and speak for what he was about to do. And he was told nothing bad would ever happen to him. So he went to Constance thinking he was going to have a nice little celebration on his way there, that it was going to be a nice little trip across Europe. And then he got to Constance, and he ran into the Pope, who was Buzz Lightyear at that time. Actually, there were three popes at that time. So who, Woody, Buzz, who's going to be my third pope? All right, so you got these three popes at this time. And John Huss gets to Constance, and what do you think happens to John Huss and Constance? You think they tell him the party keeps going? No. They tell John Huss, you know what, we promised you safe passage to this city, but we're really upset that you're telling people to tell the truth, to share God's word, to speak in the language of the people. So remember that promise we said, that safe passage that we offered that to? That doesn't apply to you. That doesn't apply to heretics. So they took away his right to safe passage. And then on July 6, 1415, John Huss was martyred, which means he was killed for what he believed in. But do you think the Moravian Church died on July 6, 1415? Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be in this sanctuary. What happened is after John passed away, all the people of Prague and Bohemia became even more convinced that his ideas were awesome.
that we should read the Bible in the language of our people. We should speak the truth. We shouldn't try to pay money to get out of our sins, but we should simply build a relationship with God. And we don't need these other people, Buzz Lightyear, Woody, and this blue thing, this bunny, to tell us. Oh, is it Bunny? Okay, hey, I was 50% right there. And we don't need them to tell us what to do, because all we need is God and the Scripture to tell us what to do. And when they did that, guess where they got? They found in their heart that Jesus was already home. Jesus was already living there. And there's a lot for them to celebrate. So thank you all very much. We're going to go right back there for a second. You can grab your toys for me if you want. There's your lay. There's your toys, Brent. Thank you, sir. And what we're going to do now is we're going to present our CEC Youth Bible of the Month. So I'm going to ask Miss Aubrey Mae Swaldo to come on up here. Oh, Brandon, you can sit right. Can you hold that spot right there for me? There. And so for Aubrey, we got her our Princess Bible. And this is dedicated to you, Aubrey. And we got, if you want to learn more about Aubrey, you can go to the back of your newsletter. And she said she wants to be a veterinarian when she grows up. Is there any animals you're looking forward to working with? Dogs. She really was looking forward to working with dogs. Me too. So we want you as a CEC to enjoy this Bible and celebrate all the things that God is doing for you. So let's all give Aubrey congratulations to our CEC Youth Member of the Month. Let's have a moment of prayer. You guys can put down your toys for just a sec. There you go. Yeah, Aubrey, you can go right there. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for these kids, for the inspiration, wisdom, and laughter they bring to our church. Bless them and guide them throughout their weeks, and let them know that they are loved, they are taken care of, they are special, and they are important in your eyes. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. Yeah, go ahead and grab a snack. Let's have a moment of prayer. God, I ask that you open our hearts, our eyes, and our ears to the words that you inspire within us. May we always be people growing, learning, and being educated in your wisdom. And may we always carry it into our lives and into our actions. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to start today with a little list for you. From some locations. So Shenrun Village, China, Savannah, Georgia, Arizona, India, Australia, Iowa, Sri Lanka, Los Angeles, Egypt, the Ozarks. Can anybody tell me what these locations have in common? Jacob?
They're all on Earth.
They're all on Earth. There we go. That's a good one. All right, let's try to break it down a little even more. Any other guesses? What do those locations have in common? Shenrun Village, China, Savannah, Georgia, Arizona, India, Australia, Iowa, Sri Lanka, Los Angeles, Egypt, and the Ozarks. What was that? Did somebody say something? Those are all locations where the Moravian Church sent missionaries and failed. Those are all locations where we tried to set up churches and try to bring the gospel, but we fail. And these are all places the Moravian Church tried to succeed but didn't quite get there. It was a place where, according to our gospel message, we had to shake the dust off of our feet and try someplace else. Because it turns out being a church committed to mission makes it so that shaking the dust off your feet has to be an important part of your identity. A healthy church cannot be crippled by failure. And I know you hear those names, all those large group of names, and it can feel a little depressing, like, oh, we tried all those different places, and it didn't work out. But imagine if the Moravian Church would have said no, no, no to any mission, no thanks to any mission after just one of those failures. What would your Moravian Church look like today? Because there are over 1 million Moravians in Latin America and Africa. And in fact, if you look at the country of Tanzania, There are more Meridians in that country than there have been Meridians in any time, in any place, all across the world. Because the missionaries didn't stop. The missionaries didn't quit sharing the gospel of Christ. And our global church survived because of the tenacity of many missionaries to shake the dust off their feet and keep sharing the gospel. Because the church today cannot be afraid of failure. A healthy church sees that failure is an inevitable part of success. Any of you who started your own business or started your own organization knows that if your business is set up so that you have one failure and you're going to walk away, that business is never going to succeed. Many businesses and churches have grown because they're not scared to fail. And it's important to ask ourselves as a church community, are we building a culture of resiliency or a culture of failure? Because a resilient community is open to new ideas and looking at old ideas in new ways. A community fixated on failure doesn't host a youth event or a potluck or try something crazy like food on the fly, because 25 years ago, that didn't work. The last time we tried that 25 years ago, it failed. And churches that have a mindset of failure often respond to new ideas by saying that. We tried that. It didn't work. That's the mission statement of a failing church. We tried it. It didn't work. They live by that. And the problem is that's not how the church operates. There's so many opportunities for us to continue and to grow. And Jesus thinks it's important in the gospel message today to equip us to handle failure, not just as a community, but as individuals as well. For our ability to handle failure says a lot more than our character than our ability to handle success. Moreover, it says a lot more about our faith, because it's easy to be a Christian when God has blessed you with a house on a hill and everything in your life is going perfect and it's all rainbows and sunshine. But it takes a great deal more of faith to be showing up on Sunday morning when life has slapped you around a bit and you are struggling to get out of the bed in the morning. But you still find a way to make God a priority in your life. You still find a way to make mission work a priority in your life. You still find a way to make discipleship a priority. That shows a great deal of faith. So we have to ask ourselves, how do we respond to failure in our own life? Do you learn from your mistakes, or do you obsess over them? I think I feel very blessed that growing up as a kid, I fell in love with the game of baseball as a child. Because baseball is a game, whether you like it or not, you have to learn to deal with failure quite a bit at a very young age. Even the best hitters in the major leagues fail 7 out of 10 times. Most of the All-Stars you'll see in Cleveland on Tuesday fail at least 7 out of 10 times. And then less than half of the first-round picks in professional baseball actually make it to the major leagues, because it's hard to have the mental strength to look failure right in the eyes night after night and keep surviving and keep growing and keep becoming a better person. One of my favorite quotes from A League of Their Own was from Tom Hanks' character, Jimmy Dugan, who is a manager. And he said, baseball, it's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great. Think about so many different things in our life. Those of you who are musicians, or artists, or writers, or builders, it's the challenge of that obstacle that makes it beautiful, that makes that song wonderful, the one that you had to practice for 3 months to finally get it right. There's a blessing in the hard work. And I think we can take that one step further, because it's often difficult to let our children fail at anything. I think it's easy for us to accept our own personal failures, but when we see our kids struggling or floundering, that is much more difficult on us, because we want to protect our children and bubble wrap them. We want them to be able to excel at everything. But we must never forget that one of the most important lessons we can teach our children is to shake the dust off their feet when they have failed, when they have fallen. Because when they are struggling in school, academically or socially, Or maybe they, God forbid, they picked that god-awful boyfriend or girlfriend in high school. And I remember my father's look when my sister brought a few guys home that did not quite pass his test, and you would just get one of these from him, and he wouldn't be very social with this person. But those happen. Or they pick the wrong major in college. Or maybe you even decide that after you graduate college that you pick the wrong career. And in those situations, we all want to be the one that provides the antidote to the problem, that has a quick fix that will help them through the problem. But we have to trust that our children are capable of getting back on their own two feet, because we equip them. God equipped them to do that. God made humanity to be resilient. And motivational speaker Rick Rigsby, who spoke at a college graduation, said this: when you hit rock bottom, when you hit rock bottom, remember this. While you're struggling, rock bottom can also be a great foundation on which to build and which to grow. I'm not worried that you won't ever be successful. I'm worried that you won't fail from time to time. The person that gets up off the canvas and keeps growing, that's the person that will continue to grow. That's the person who will get stronger, the one who learns from failure. In the Moravian Church, we know all about learning from our challenges and our failures. Because on July 6, 1415, I imagine John Huss on that day felt like the greatest failure of all. Because he dedicated his life to preaching about a Jesus that serves people and transforms all lives. He wanted the Bible to be available in the language of the people. He wanted corruption and greed to be weeded out of the church. John Huss was on record. John Huss grew from very modest means. He said the reason that he joined the priesthood in the first place was so that he knew where his next meal was coming from. It wasn't until he went to his version of seminary that he really developed a close and personal relationship with Christ. But imagine being in his shoes on that day, being sentenced to death by a system that you dedicated your life to serving. Because he was sentenced to death by his peers and his colleagues. And John Huss could have easily felt like he was dying a spiritual death along with a painful physical death. But when that day came, John Huss was at peace with God when he was led to be burned at the stake as a heretic. In fact, as soon as the sentence was passed on John Huss, he got down on his knees and he prayed for those who condemned him when he was sentenced. And he sang hymns, beautiful hymns, as he watched his life slowly erode into the ashes. Because John Huss was at peace because he knew that he was not being condemned for his belief in himself, but his belief in Jesus Christ. And that belief cannot be crucified or buried or taken away. Thousands have tried to do that, and every single one of them have failed. John Huss died at peace because he knew the gospel of Jesus Christ would live across the world. It would live long beyond his generations. However, we don't celebrate the martyrdom of John Huss because he was killed. We see him as the inspiration of the Moravian Church because of how he lived. And he lived his life dedicated to serving God, and so should we. And we should not feel ashamed because we have not been asked to make the greatest sacrifice of all for Jesus Christ. For God cares far more about the purpose of our lives than the purpose of our death. The greatest trick Satan has played on Christians is making them believe the most important day on this earth is your last one. Because Jesus in our gospel makes it clear that building the kingdom of God is a present moment task, a today task, something that we are capable of doing right now. And we are called to go out into our world and serve God today, to not push it off. And perhaps that is the lesson we need to carry with us as we remember the legacy of Huss. Don't put off serving God right now. Do it. Just go out and serve God any way you can, because we do ourselves a great disservice when we see mission and discipleship as something we never quite get to, something that's just out of reach, that never quite get to on the list of things that we check off in the week or in the day or in the year. Because as disciples of Christ and students of Huss, we are not living for our last moment, our last day. We are living to make the present moment a better moment. We are living so that our neighbors around us won't have to look up to see God, but they will see it in the smile of the person sitting across from them, in the care of the person sitting next to them. And they will see God in our compassion and our dedication to building the kingdom of God in the world around us. And think about that for a minute. How different would the worldwide church look like if we focused on the present moment instead of the future moment or the past moment? What would our church look like? Because we are called to serve God. And as we remember the legacy of John Huss was not a rich man or a powerful man, but like the 72 that Jesus sent out, he was capable of carrying the gospel. And when you speak the truth of Jesus Christ, beautiful things can happen in the world. And it wasn't long after John Huss passed away that the entire country of Bohemia carried his message, his legacy with them. And like a hidden seed, the Moravian Church slowly developed out of that, out of Gregory the Patriarch, who turned into John Amos Comenius, who turned into Zinzendorf. And because of that legacy, because of that faith, we are disciples of Christ. And remember that. There's no mission too small, no opportunity too small. And so we don't have to be martyrs for Christ, but we can carry the gospel to our friend, to our neighbor, to our children. And we can remind them that as Moravians, we are called to be people that speak the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, and most importantly, carry the truth to every single place we go. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your inspiration to send out the 72. We ask that you remind us that when we feel like we're failing in this world, to shake off the dust off our feet, to learn from the opportunities and mistakes that happen. Because you call us not to be perfect, but you call us to keep growing. To keep growing closer to you, to keep growing closer to our neighbors. So when we go forth in this world, help us to be the people that carry your truth, that remind this world that God can be seen today in the beauty and the compassion of all his followers. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. You may remain seated as we join together in song and prepare our hearts for communion. Thank you. As we celebrate Holy Communion today, let us remember as we celebrate together that the Moravian Church practices an open communion table. All who welcome Christ in their hearts are welcome at our table. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.
Let us extend the right hand of fellowship. Peace, right? Peace, Angie. Peace, Tara. Peace, Charlotte. Peace, Tara. Sorry. Peace, Jacob. Peace, Nick. Peace, Randy. Peace, Sharon. Gracious God, we thank you for the invitation to this meal, that this is a personal and communal gathering. Help us to be people that remember that communion is for all people, not just for those who deem themselves holy and righteous, but for us as sinners. And may we ask for your forgiveness and in gratitude live in your mercy. And may we pray together the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection.
Bless and comfort us, gracious Lord and God. Amen.
In the same way after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Please rise. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death.
Until he comes.
Let's extend the right hand of bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Go in peace, brothers and sisters. And for those of you staying for wiffle ball, play ball. Thank you.